Welcome to Organize Anything with Colette Robichaux on 105.9 Seaside FM.
Good morning and welcome to Organize Anything. My name is Krista Cook and we are speaking with Colette Robichaux, the organizing coach. Today we are going to speak about sleep. Now people are talking more and more about how important getting a good night's rest is. This is called sleep hygiene. Today we're going to talk about what sleep hygiene is and some tips to improve your sleep patterns. Good morning, Colette.
Good morning, Krista. Great to be back chatting with you again and talking about something that is so important to all of us, sleep, and sometimes it's just frustrating not being able to get to sleep.
Oh, I mean, there can't be a person out there who hasn't had one night or a spell, insomnia, of just not being able to sleep. It can be so frustrating.
Absolutely. There's different times in our lives. There's just things going on in our lives. There could be temperature. There's so much involved with sleep, and I really think we're going to see more and more research on sleep. We talk about people not drinking and driving or working heavy equipment with, you know, medications, but actually a lot of us are walking around being so sleep deprived that we can cause a lot of accidents just as much as if we were drinking or on medication. It's something we've got to think about a little bit more.
It is very scary. I heard some stats the other morning about this very subject, and it is actually measured worse than some of those things you just mentioned. As well, the percentage of population that is not getting 7 to 8 hours sleep a night. As you said, sleep deprivation.
Yeah. Sleep is one of those first things that go when we've got lots going on. We just think we can sort of squeeze that out. And over the years, if you think of it, we've got the technology of the lighting. You know, the old days, oh, it got dark, we just go to bed. I feel a little bit like that sometimes myself now when it gets dark. But honestly, we're stretching it more and more. We've got more to do, and we've really pushed it on both ends. And, you know, more and more research is showing us that, you know, we like to say that 8 hours or a little more, a little less. But, you know, I just know I just started working on trying to sleep more and seeing how I would feel, because I was one of those people that always said, oh, I don't need much sleep. I never did. And I started to do more and more research and realized, well, wait a minute, I think we all need, and it's showing that we all need more than we think we do. And we're going to talk about some of those ways to get a little more sleep today.
And I find with highlighting all the things we should be doing in our health regime these days, they're just getting to that sleep part. Like, yeah. It's just sort of, you know, wow, wouldn't it be a great idea to get 7 or 8 hours sleep? Imagine how funny that sounds. I've always been taking my sleep, so I enjoy it, except, of course, when you have young children and have no control. But how specifically can that sleep deprivation affect your lifestyle? I mean, many different ways, I would think.
Absolutely. We touched a little bit about accidents and the research that is coming out with that. Just think about our cognitive, our thinking abilities, our ability to make decisions, our performance at work, you know, wondering about, oh, what's wrong with that person? She seems to be messing up a lot. And often when you get in that state, you don't even realize that you're there. You are so sleep deprived. It's gone on for a while for one reason or another, or you think you're functioning highly, but the problem is you don't even know that. So it's affecting your mind and your body and all the functionings that go along with that. So it is a basic, and it's one of the basics that we just sort of, you know, slough off and say, oh, well, you know, I don't sleep much, or I stay up, or I do this because of things to do. But honestly, in my coaching life with a lot of people, a lot of times what we're doing before we go to bed is not, you know, it's not activities. A lot of times it's, you know, watching TV or doing things that we can definitely let go of, and that we have ourselves so wound up that that whole winding down process doesn't work properly.
Yeah.
So
not conducive to falling into that good night's sleep at all.
Yeah.
Now, how much sleep do you think we really need for top performance?
Well, that 8 hours a day has been, you know, sort of around for a long time. And then, you know, they sort of say, well, that's 7 to 9 and know yourself. But I would just throw it out there to everyone listening that try getting some more sleep. Come up with some ways to get it more. And I think you'll be surprised, as I was, for a gal who said, I don't need much sleep, to find out how much better you feel. There's also a lot of research coming up now for you know, saying that more sleep will allow you to, you know, lose more weight. Your body is, you know, kicking into that zone of, oh, there's something wrong. We're not sleeping. We're not doing this. And it conserves our weight mm-hmm. because to go into a time of famine or trauma mm-hmm. or something like that. So there's just more and more research coming out. So I would suggest that, you know, there are so many people that aren't even getting 7 hours sleep that just try to work it in a little bit more. So how much you really need for top performance, I would just suggest it's more than most people listening is getting right now, and to think of it in those terms.
How does age affect sleep? Now, I do find a difference as I've mm-hmm. gotten older, but I still love sleeping. Mm-hmm. That part hasn't changed.
That's good. Well, a lot of times people were just saying, oh, as you get older, you need less sleep, or people are sleeping less. And what's coming out in the research is that the reason people are having more troubled sleep as they're older come out for a few reasons. One is sometimes they're napping during the day, so then they're not yes. taking a complete sleep. Sometimes they have medications that affect them, and so it can wake them up and cause some issues. And sometimes for a lot of us, it's getting up and going to the bathroom. Like, you know, yes. there's some factors like that. So as far as that whole theory of age and needing less sleep, there are some people challenging that right now. So again, you know, the premise today is sleep more. You know, that's what we're talking about.
I challenge it because yeah. I still have not gotten to any point where I think I need less sleep.
Yeah.
I've not. So yeah. unless that's, you know, something to look forward to in my 50s, I don't know. But
that's good.
Yeah, sleep has just been... Well, I think as women and parents who are mm-hmm. parents, let's face it, we have that period of time where we are sleep deprived and we know we're sleep deprived. And then comes that time where you actually get to catch up, or at least
yeah.
your routine is such that you're getting good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a huge difference. I mean, your productivity during the day is just mm-hmm. enough to convince me.
Absolutely.
Now, I wonder, other than stress, what are some other common reasons for having trouble sleeping?
Well, there's quite a few. I always talk about setting up that environment for success in a lot of things we do. And a lot of times there are some problems because we don't set the tone to have some good sleep. So one of the things that we often think of as a good thing is having that glass of wine or two or whatever to help us sleep. But again, this may get you to sleep faster, but often there's a period of time, a few hours, that it will wake you up again. So look at those crutches that you start to use that aren't good for long-term results. And alcohol, that glass of wine, that rum toddy, or whatever it might be for you, really isn't an effective strategy for long-term success.
And think about all these over-the-counter medications for sleeping, mm-hmm. sleeping aids. Mm-hmm. I can't help but think if you start those, is that just another sort of another way that you have to go to sleep? I think it's just... I don't know. In my experience, I almost find if you can just accept that there's going to be sleepless nights mm-hmm. and not allow yourself to get stressed, that really will help you get through it.
Yeah, it will happen once in a while. And with anything, you know, the fact that we have the wonderful pharmaceuticals or things that can help us are great. But what I always try to do is look and use up all the natural approaches first, the other things you can do
yes,
beforehand,
good idea.
And always talk to your doctor. Because again, if you're using some over-the-counter medications or even supplements, you don't know how they're affected with anything you're already taking. You know, often it'll say take it for a short period of time, but definitely talk to your doctor before you do anything like that, because you don't want to set up things that create some issues. So, you know, always it's getting back to some basic things, like exercise is a fabulous thing for you.
Isn't it?
You know, it's sort of like the basics, eat well, exercise, yeah. breathe well. But again, a little exercise earlier in the day, people sleep better. You don't want to do it too close to your sleep. I know for me, I can't exercise in the evening outside of a walk that's not like really
yes.
aerobic, or it's keeping me up a little bit longer. But really just to get a little bit of that increased exercise in, it's a very natural way to go. So try some of these other things we're going to talk about, and it's going to help you a little bit more. So the exercise is a great way to go. You're doing some of that more breathing and expanding, and you know, it just is a wonderful way to go. The question about food comes comes up a lot as well, because, you know, there's all kinds of reasons of when to eat for other reasons besides sleep. But you know, they always say don't eat 3 hours before you go to bed. But for some people, a little snack before they go to bed does work well also. But one of the recommendations, again, there is to be very careful about what that food is. Spicy food is not good. That's too sugary. And, of course, caffeine we often think of just in the beverages. But, of course, if you're having, you know, the chocolate cake or the chocolates or, you know, some of even the you know, the soft drinks, the colas and, you know, some of these things. And not to mention, you know, people drinking a lot of these crazy other
latte,
beverages during the day. Yeah. Yeah.
Frigino.
Exactly. We've got so many of these specialty coffees, whether they're iced or hot or frothing or latte or whatever, and those really add up in the run of the day. So, you know, really consider cutoff points in the run of the day. When I was having my real sleep issues, I cut back on caffeine earlier and earlier in the day and that sort of thing. That was a really good way to watch it. So, you know, look and do like audit your food intake, what's going on, and your beverage intake, and really have a peek of that and see what that's looking like. And on the other side, the good old-fashioned beverage of a little warm milk is still showing to help you. There's you know, a protein in it, tryptophan or something like that, and converts to a melatonin, serotonin, both which induce sleep. So again, some natural ways to take care of it. Nothing like a good old glass of milk, and you know, go there before you're running off to your drugstore, speaking to your doctor. Try some of those natural ways, and that's a great way to start too.
Now, one of the things you always hear people on Fridays, I can't wait to sleep in this weekend. Mm-hmm. I can't. I am a creature of routine. Mm-hmm. Sleeping in for me may be laying in bed for an extra half an hour or so, but honestly, I've always believed if I keep that routine, it just makes it easier on me. What's your thoughts?
Well, we love routines. And, you know, as parents, many people see that, off the routine, didn't get the nap today, off of the bedtime, that sort of thing. So that's the one thing we forget as adults, that the same things that we practice as children a lot of time, like winding them down, stopping their activities beforehand, staying with the routine, you know, not being, you know, going from video game to expecting your eyes to shut and
sleep now,
not
Johnny.
Yeah. So the same practices can happen for adults, but definitely routines rock. Our bodies love them. They like to stick to the same time. But often, you know, we're staying out a little later. We plan our activities to stay out later on the weekend and that
Certainly.
Sort of thing. But the more we can stick to the routine, the better. You know, that is definitely a way to go. But, you know, I, like many people, we're up later on the weekend and we just adjust with that. So give yourself a little bit of a break. But what happens then is then when it rolls around to Monday morning, getting into work, it can be really a little more painful when you're trying to adjust back. So reconsider. And some people are more adjustable than others. But sticking to your routine as much as possible with those times is a great way to go. And I often have clients that I'm coaching that, you know, that really are getting up later and later, and they're calling me and saying, you know, I work for myself and somehow now I'm, you know, I'm not getting up till 10, you know, there's no accountability it's going more and more later. And I call them my vampire clients because they're switching their clock.
Yeah, totally.
But they're working for themselves or they've had a bad night's sleep and they say, I've got into this routine and they're switching it later and later and then they stay up later. And I call them my vampire clients and we joke about it and they say, well, I said, what time do you think you need to get up? And they said, well, 8. And I said, well, you can't switch from getting up at 10 to 8. So, you know, if you're trying to switch those routines, baby steps like any other behavioral change, and you know, these are big changes. Just set the clock back 15 minutes for a week or a few days and just keep working on it. Don't make those sudden changes. That's what gets your routine going back in order better. So, again, that's what's working for my clients to change them for the long term. When you're thinking about the weekend, again, if you're staying up till 4 o'clock in the morning and sleeping all day and then expecting to get back to work, it's you know, it's going to be tough.
So, do you think people can catch up on their sleep?
I didn't before, but I really, the napping scenario, if you can get that down pat, I really think you can, because I really think you should grab the Z's where you can. Some people are good nappers. I never was, but I've really worked on that now. I'm a much better napper. It can be refreshing. I can sleep on a plane now, which I never could before, because I really, you know, I really think about when can you get the sleep. But the same as setting an environment for success in your bedroom to sleep, I even do that on the plane. I've got my little eye patch. I always have my little pashmina our cape to be warm. Oh, you know, yes, you have to be the right temperature and stuff like that. So yeah, I think you can catch up a little bit by sleeping a little more, getting a nap. But people have to be very careful of that nap and how deep it goes.
Yes.
So not to go too long.
No.
And, you know, have something to wake you up. And even I find, you know, I'm pretty good with my mind if I say, oh, I'm just going to, even just, you know, my old dad saying was, oh, I'm not napping, I'm just resting my eyes. Well, he snored a lot when he was resting his eyes, but even that putting you in that state, whether it's a pre-nap or
floating.
A meditation,
yeah,
or a
clearing
stage. Your head or somewhere, it's giving you a break both mentally and physically. And there's something, you know, often in today's world, our mind does not get that break. You know what I mean? We're bombarded by 200
everything.
Brands of cereal when you're walking down the aisle. You're, you know, the everything. There's just so much coming in. So I really think that, you know, to have a little nap and work on that napping process is a good way to go to catch up a little bit and to use it wisely.
Oh, I quite enjoy naps. And I think that's probably my treat on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
My routine may be the same. But just if I won't allow myself, you can't cross that line into deep sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So for me, half an hour can be really wonderfully refreshing.
For
just
sure.
Get up and carry on.
Yeah. And traveling a lot and changing time zones, the whole sleeping pattern becomes an issue as well. And I know I've traveled quite a lot over the years, and I have my rules of, you know, of trying not to nap too long. If I can go and we're changing a big time zone that first night, I try to stay up as long as possible. Even if I've gone overnight, like to Australia or Asia or something like that, I stay up as long as possible. And even if it's going to bed at 7 o'clock, a lot of times I'll try not to nap. So I go to bed really, really early because I've skipped a night of sleep on the plane or whatever.
Yep.
And then I'm back on time getting up in the morning and whatever. So it's thinking about, it's like a lot of things. Like, how do I plan this? If I arrive in and I sleep, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning and then I sleep all day. And it's nice. So you got to sleep a little ahead about what the repercussions are of a long nap or not doing that sort of things.
You're listening to Organize Anything with Colette Robichaud. We'll be right back on 105.9 Seaside FM.